Studio 511. It's the 251st edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Travis.
No, you're Chris.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure. You're Chris.
I tell people I'm Chris the last couple of weeks and they ignore me. So I try different names.
Well, see what sticks. That has less to do with your name and more to do with your personality.
Damn! Does that explain why there's not a third tonight?
Savagery.
Did I scare off the other guy?
Maybe. No. Arnold's not here. He had stuff with his kid. So you know, kids. What are you gonna do, right?
Yeah, I've been there.
So yeah. So it's just us two flying solo tonight. Well, I know. Okay, you and Travis, y'all are the dirty heels. Me and Arnold.
Scott joins in eventually. Sometimes he's the third
dirty heel.
And you guys are the technicos, right? The Lego set?
Los technicos. What the hell are me and you whenever we're together?
We'll let the listeners figure that out for us. We'll take suggestions.
What would you call this tag team of Abel and Chris? This is gonna Please let us know. I am about to fire up the old YouTube app here on my smartphone. So if you're watching us live, thank you so much. You could chat along with us, talk crap. Fact check us, ask us questions, whatever. As long as, you know, it's in here, I'll see it. Yep, here it is. You're officially pulled up.
Snap, we got people already.
Yes, C-Universe and Ryan are both in there. What's up, guys? Nice to see y'all in here. Thank you so much for joining. But, yeah, come up with a tag team name for us. Yeah, so throughout the night, if you communicate here, I'll involve you in the show as best as I can. If you're not watching this live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter @HWrestlingRadio. So
we'll give them some homework already.
Bada boom.
Anybody that's in the chat, you have an hour.
They already have a tag team name. Ryan says Dumb and Dumber.
Original. You have an hour to figure out what your match of the week is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What about you?
Well, you know what? There was a match that was probably going to be my pick.
Oh.
The finals of the Mae Young Classic.
Hot dog.
Mm. It was not what I was expecting.
Okay.
You know, we've been watching the tournament for the last 24 hours. And I was like, I like these little, like, nut busts with Shayna Baszler, but at some point she's going to have to pull 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
And she did a pretty good match with Kairi Sane.
She did.
Yeah.
She did.
But I have to ask.
Uh-huh.
Did the right woman win?
Blah, 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 blah. If you would have asked me this
before
last week, I would have been like, yeah, the right woman won. But watching it in real time, the fact that they were in Vegas, that they were putting over the stuff with, you know, the MMA, I don't know. I have to question it because Baszler went out there looking like she belonged, looking like the WWE are full force going to invest stuff in her because of the Ronda Rousey stuff, the four horsewomen. Oh, she's MMA, the music, like that has something to do with it. And I would have thought that the WWE would have given it to her. Not saying that I don't like Kairi because I love Kairi. I love Kairi, but in this match, the way that they built both of them, I was like, Kairi's not the second coming of Asuka. And right now, the only person that I would have thought that would have gone toe-to-toe with Baszler was Asuka. Like, that was the only one I could see realistically beating her because of the way that they built her. Not because, oh, I think she's the best wrestler out there, but because the way that the hype machine spun her, you know?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm not upset about it. I'm glad Kairi won. But had they built it a different way and had they built her a different way, maybe. I felt like that the momentum, the rocket was strapped to the back of Baszler. But they were kind of like, okay, well, she's kind of with Kairi, she's already halfway to the moon anyway. So let's just let her stall out. And even with stalling out, she won. So, I mean, does that kind of make sense, you know?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about it, but do you have a differing opinion?
The match aside,
uh-huh.
I already know it's Match Week Canada. Could be my pick. That being said, this was literally the crossroads that we were going to get to sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag Women's Revolution. Is that focused more on the women actually wrestling in the ring, mm-hmm. or character development? because Kairi Sane would have been a beautiful addition to the WWE roster.
Yes.
In 1994.
Oh. 1995. Oh.
You know, I love the fact that they built up that she has a past, that she grew up with on boats, and she has a history. She's familiar. She has knowledge of boats, so the gimmick fits her, being a pirate.
Or as JR said, she's a yachtsman. She's a yachtsperson. She likes yachts.
She likes yachts. She likes it a yacht.
Thanks, JR.
Yeah. So it makes sense.
Uh-huh.
But Women's Revolution, oh, man, we need wrestlers. We need women that wrestle, that could do things just as good as the men. We got Charlotte versus Sasha and Hell in a Cell, I Quit, and Triple Threat WrestleMania, bing, bing, blah, white women's belt that looks just like all the other belts. It doesn't look like a Polly Pocket belt anymore. What do fans right now of pro wrestling want out of the Women's Revolution? Do you want to go blur the line into, okay, now in order to be a legit women's wrestler, you have to have a background in real fighting of anything? Or is it just, are we going to stick to like the classic 80s, 90s
gimmicks.
Wrestling? Yeah. Which again, yeah. I love Kairi Sane's gimmick. I love that Shayna Baszler is like, got a legit, she has 13 wins by submission.
Right.
You know, in legit MMA. But we're going to have that conflict here because as much as I love the match, the one flaw that I have in the match is that there were times where I couldn't figure out where WWE wanted to book it. Did they want to book it straight up an MMA fighter that a woman's wrestler was trying to beat, or an MMA fighter pretending to be a woman's wrestler?
Ooh. Okay. I get you. I understand. You know what? And that's kind of goes back to Kairi. You know, I'm going to be talking massive amount of shit here about Kairi, but please don't get me wrong. I fucking love her. Okay. I really, really like her, but I think the thing with Kairi, and you hit the nail right on the head, she kind of has this employee gimmick. You know, you had a trash collector, you had a repo guy, you had a cop, you had a prisoner. Yeah. What is she? She's a pirate, JR.
Yar!
Like, okay, cool. Like, I get it that they have a backstory for it. Oh, she did competitive yachting in college. Okay, cool. That's awesome. But with the music, with the little spinny thing, it was too super kawaii, which I kind of like about her because that's authentic to her, you know, and I like that. But it was like, oh, man, how is the WWE machine going to push that? Are they going to push it like Gentleman Jack, where it works, but not really? Like, it works because we like it. Because
he's an awesome wrestler, but oh my God, he's on the top rope with a fucking umbrella.
Yeah. Does it work like the Fashion Police? Because it works.
It's fucking awesome. I'm laughing, but even though I'm probably the only one
but
in this
not
room
really.
That knows a joke.
Yeah. Like, it works because, especially with us marks, because we're appreciating the wrestling that they do, and then let's slap a stupid gimmick on them and like, okay, the stupid gimmick, well, they make it work and we appreciate it and we see past it. In fact, we like it because we like the wrestler. But is it an awesome wrestling gimmick? I don't know. I think Shayna Baszler had the more awesome wrestling gimmick, even though that was more contrite.
More like a presentation. So much a gimmick as much as just a presentation.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. This really boils down to how much wrestling theory do you want to delve into, and how much of that theory are you going to be on this side or that side? Does funny equal money? Does cute equal money? Or is awesome badass equal money?
Because you see right now what you do with cute that could make money if you don't know what to do with it.
Bailey. Or Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn, lovable loser, but you know what? He's the loser. Yeah. You know, so we all fucking loved him when he was having 5-star matches with Cesaro in NXT. Oh, man, they're really going to do something with them. But what did he do? He lost that. What did he do after that? Lost again. And now I don't give two shits about Sami Zayn because he's always going to lose no matter what.
I don't give a shit about the Mae Young Classic.
What?
And here's why.
Okay.
Cruiserweight Classic. Oh, sweet Jesus. Match of the Year candidates, Daniel Bryan, Mauro Ranallo. The end game was bringing back the Cruiserweight Championship. Okay. Eventually starting off a brand, division, their own show, regardless of where they put it or why or how they're putting it. Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, Daddy, NXT. Daddy. You know, what was the end game? It was always title shot, number one contender, okay, on a pay-per-view. You know, United Kingdom division. It was two nights. You know, I can't complain about the binge watch. Well, then again, it was only just two episodes and two nights. But the end game was the United Kingdom Championship.
Right.
Regardless of what they're doing with it now. In the moment, that's what these women were fighting for. So you're telling me that Asuka's already relinquished the title on NXT.
Right.
And you've got 32 women there from around the world. Half of them have wrestled around the world.
Right.
And you're not going to dangle a carrot of let's make this whole thing worth it by giving you at least a title shot at the next takeover.
Well,
or something.
It's funny you say that because Porsche, sitting on the couch, but also in the live chat, says Kyrie has a title shot at TakeOver Houston. I asked, is that confirmed?
Yes.
That's confirmed?
Yes, NXT and WWE posted all that correct.
Okay, well, that's confirmed. Well,
if it's confirmed, that's it's confirmed. But that's after the fact. We knew before the finals.
It's going to be after the fact.
We knew before the finals of the Cruiserweight Classic, Triple H brought out the belt.
Right.
We knew before the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Classic that they were getting a title shot.
And we knew about the UK title
before it happened. So this, after the fact, this would have kept interest.
Okay, hold on. If Kyrie's getting a title shot, who's she getting a title shot against?
That's a good question.
Against Vacant? NXT version of Vacant? That's interesting. That doesn't make me want to shit on the Mae Young Classic. That makes me a little bit more interested in that, even after the fact. But aside from Porsche bringing up that thing, there's even more stuff going on in the chat. You mind if I get to some of that?
Nope.
About the Mae Young Classic. Okay. First thing here.
Holy shit, y'all are busy.
Oh, guys. I know. These guys are busy bees. I'm having to scroll back here. C Universe says, would they have let someone not under contract win? He says, isn't Baszler, now it's scrolled away. Okay. But basically he was saying, isn't Baszler not under contract? Is she still with Shimmer?
I don't know either.
That's a good question. Does somebody fact check? I don't know. I mean, I guess if she's not,
that couldn't make sense why Kota Ibushi and Sabre didn't.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was about to say. That goes back to Ibushi. You know, Ibushi was pegged to win the whole damn thing. He did it. Why? TJP was willing to sign on the dotted line there.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, let's see here. What else? Robert Medlin. What's up, Robert? Nice to see you again. He says, "I figure Kari was winning to give the tournament the feel good ending." That's a good point. Baszler was the fucking heel in all this. A lot of people don't want to see Baszler win because you know she was being a dick. And you know after what she did what's her name, Candace? Man, she got a lot of heat from that.
Yeah.
So yeah, the feel good ending is. Have Kyrie win. I get that. I agree with that. That's a very, very, very good point there, Robert.
Depending on who's looking for the feel-good ending. Because from watching these episodes of the Mae Young Classic, they were teasing two things. One, the winner of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, don't tell me that you're going to have the rest of the MMA horsewomen at ringside, and then opposite on the other section, you're going to have three of the four WWE horsewomen and Asuka sitting there, and you're not going to like further that. It kind of felt like a tease, like a pop tease.
Well, then.
Yeah. It felt like I got this vibe a little bit through the beginning of the episodes that they were focusing as much attention on the guests that were there rather than just making it about the women. Oh my God, look who's at ringside. Oh my God, it's the four horsewomen. Oh my God, I want to make a name for myself, not be Mrs. Johnny Gargano, yet there's fucking Johnny Gargano right there. And the commentator makes a point of it. Oh my God, I know him as Mrs. Gargano. I was like, come on, man.
Wasn't Cassius Ohno ringside for one of the matches?
Yeah.
I meant to bring this up because I can't remember which competitor it was, but one of the commentators said, and there's her biggest
fan or something
like that. I was like, the fuck? He said biggest supporter or something like that. I was like, Cassius Ohno is supporting, and I can't remember which girl it was, but like,
I'm sure somebody in there tells.
Yeah, what the fuck was going on there? Like, Okay.
Well, and we still don't know what we're doing with all these women. Again, that goes back to what are we doing with everyone here? Cruiserweights, we had the division. Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, we had new teams in NXT. I take that back. This last episode of NXT that was taped 8 years ago, they actually had, was it Miss Johnny Gargano? wrestling one of the chicks in NXT wrestling Sonya Deville.
I don't remember who it was, but it was Sonya Deville. Yeah,
and Sonya Deville like mopped the floor with her. It's like, yes.
Well, see, that's the thing about Sonya Deville and Baszler that makes me question what the hell's going to happen, because you already have somebody with her gimmick in NXT. So what the hell are you going to do with Baszler when you have Sonya Deville that you've apparently
you have Sonya Deville who pretends to be an MMA fighter. Now you just got in the runner up a legit 13 win by knockout or submission.
Yeah, so MMA fighter.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess
they stable.
Stable tag team, maybe just a feud. You know, that's it. But man, there's so many women that were in the Mae Young Classic that I just want to see more of. I want to see more of Toni Storm. I want to see more of Piper Niven. I want to see more of Butt Cape. You know, I just call her Butt Cape now. I don't even remember her name. Abby
Lath.
Lath. There you go.
Jazzy Gabbert. We need more foreigners.
Yes. Oh, Bianca Belair. I want to see more of Bianca Belair.
Oh, what the?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it is Bianca Belair.
Yeah, with the hair whip. Yeah. But she was also like really jacked and she
Lacey
was like,
Evans.
Doing really good. Mm. But she's already signed.
So. Yeah, but we get to see more.
Yeah, we do. Mm. I mean, there's so many women in there that are like fucking badass wrestlers I want to see more of. And with Asuka, moving on, we saw that on this past episode of NXT. William Regal went out there saying, hey, she's giving back the title, but you know, she's been so successful. There's more than just NXT and WWE, so she's in contract negotiation, so I'm going to take back the title. Everybody say bye-bye. She said bye-bye. We had the feel-good moment. You deserve it. Clap, 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 all that stuff. Nobody is ready for Asuka. Yay! And then
Ember.
Hey.
Yeah. They really start getting all huggy-feely.
So that's a big void to fill, because that's not going to be filled by fucking the iconic duo. I'm sorry. With as many times as Ember Moon has lost, not getting that title, I think it would kind of be kind of weird to just like, okay, now that Asuka's gone, you can win the title. Then it'll be the same argument that everybody says for the Rockets. Oh, the Rockets only won those two championships
because Jordan wasn't there.
Fuck you. You know, but
what thing we can get?
Especially after this week. Holy shit.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, there's a lot there in the women's division and NXT, and it's got us talking. Hell, we spent the first 20 minutes of the show talking about this, so that's got to be something good, right? You know? Right? Maybe?
Sure.
Okay. What we were transitioning into, there's a lot going on here in the chat. Hold on. Yeah, before we transition. I've noticed, Robert says, I've noticed a few women have changed their Instagram handles to WWE. Ooh. Which ones? Give us names. We must know. let's see. Porsche says, Sonya is an amateur MMA fighter. Okay, cool.
God, is she attractive. Am I the only one that sees that? Maybe without the imagine Sonya Deville without the braids and the mouthpiece.
God, I miss the braids and the mouthpiece.
You really like it rough, don't you?
Hey, I'm not saying anything.
Don't worry, Randy's saying it for you.
What? She didn't say nothing. Let's see here. The promos for her main roster debut were badass. I think Ryan means for Asuka. You know, they showed the mask videos, and everything. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
We'll jump to Raw for a quick second.
Tag team name for us, Chicano Chaos. Maybe.
Good move or bad move to have Asuka on Raw?
Who else is on Raw?
Nia Jax.
Okay, I'd like to see her versus Nia.
Alexa Bliss. Alexa?
Okay.
Bailey, Sasha.
Emma. Yeah, maybe.
Mickey.
She could probably have good matches with
Asuka. Already beat Mickey. Asuka already beat Bailey.
That's true.
I would love Asuka to just shut Sasha up. Like, nasty. And give me Asuka versus a champion Nia Jax.
Okay. Yeah. Nia Jax, dominate. Now that she's already on the cusp of being the champ, hold that title for a long time, all the while Asuka's going through the rest of the roster, and then we leading up to this big mega match of the one that's been dominating and the one who was dominating.
The one that's undefeated.
Oh.
The dominated against the undefeated.
It could be Goldberg versus Hogan all over again. Yeah, sure, why not? I mean, it's not any better than going to SmackDown because, I mean, both of the divisions seem to kind of be in the same spot.
There's fresher matches on SmackDown. Asuka, Charlotte, Asuka, Naomi. I think Asuka, Naomi would be very interesting.
Yes. Because
Naomi has the speed to keep up with somebody like Asuka.
Dude, but any of those matches will be fresh. I mean, with the exception of, like, maybe Bayley and Emma, I think all the matches would be fresh. Especially if you're...
And Mickey.
Okay. But, I mean, if you put enough backstory into it, you put enough, you know, thought into it, I think... Either roster should be okay in.
You made the argument earlier about, oh, well, let's just give it to freaking Ember Moon because, right?
Yeah, don't do that.
No,
don't
what you do. Yeah. If you're going to have Asuka, at least they did a decent job of teasing something. If you're going to have Asuka on Raw, put Ember Moon on SmackDown now. Because you're not going to get the same reaction from Ember Moon. It's not going to be rewarding or satisfying knowing that she won it just because the one person she couldn't beat ain't there.
Yeah.
So have Ember actually be successful on SmackDown, have Asuka kill bitches on Raw, and eventually come back around to the fact that Ember still has unfinished business.
Okay.
Interpromotional, or maybe when someone switches from one brand to the other and they reunite.
Well, okay, what if it is Kairi versus Ember? And then Ember wins.
Dude, I would like it for it to be Kairi versus Ember, and Ember loses. Like here's the winner.
And then
here's the winner for the.
You can start all the fucking comparisons. Oh well, it's just because she's Japanese and they had to take it off of Asuka and give it to her.
No,
that's gonna be stupid.
No, this is what turns Ember heel.
Okay, I'm down for an Ember heel turn. I've said it before. The
Ember and Jeans look sexy as fuck though. But regardless, Ember is a heel.
Ember's a heel. She needs to be a heel. Her character is more suited for heelish type stuff. Lose the t-shirt, lose the jeans, and just always look fucking like a Mortal Kombat character and menacing and just like don't give anybody the time of day. And when you do, you speak to them in fucking riddles, you know, and like
Mortal Kombat's back in style, man.
Yeah.
Video games, fucking Funko Pops.
Which,
oh, shit.
Does that totally negate all the bullshit we said about Kyrie's gimmick and how you can't have 90s gimmicks? Do we just... Were we just hypocrites there?
Yeah, that's what we do around here.
Okay.
Yeah. Sin City. Right. We got the finals of the Mae Young Classic. We also got three fucking title matches on SmackDown.
The Tweedle Brothers, Tweedledum, and Tweedledork for tag team name. Thanks, Miranda Owen. I don't know who you are. First time seeing you in the chat. Thanks
we'll
for
let that
in.
Slide because you're a girl. Now do us a favor. At least do me a favor. Tell other girls
Did you
to
just
watch.
Assume her gender?
If you're a dude named Miranda, we need to talk.
Oh, Lord.
Three title matches on SmackDown.
Thanks for joining us.
Which one did you like the least?
The least? Okay, there was the tag, the women's, and...
U.S. Open.
U.S. Open. Probably the U.S. Open?
Defend yourself.
It was the one that I can't remember.
Fair enough. Fair enough. We had that match, 2 weeks ago? And we finished it the same way. No Styles Clash again.
No Styles Clash. Baron Corbin getting interrupted. It didn't really do a whole lot for Ty, which I think they should be doing a whole lot for Ty. And if you had a more definitive finish, even if Ty lost, but, well, I know he did lose, but, like, without the shenanigans, you know, a little bit more like competition, like they were doing with Jason Jordan. Jason Jordan was looking awesome even in these losses. I think Ty was on the cusp
or
of looking.
Gable.
Yeah, Ty was on the cusp of looking awesome, but didn't quite yet look there. Like, oh, it's a wash because Baron Corbin, you know, interrupted. So it was like, okay. So, whatever. Meh. That was meh.
My least favorite was the women's match.
Okay.
Again,
that's fine.
You've got all these women at ringside. And
Miranda says Ryan made me do it. So she knows Ryan.
I feel so bad for you now. Dang. So, yeah, the women, it just felt like, all right, we're having this tournament with the women in overshadowing SmackDown. So the women need to bring it. And it just felt paint by the numbers. Like, I didn't feel like there was any urgency in having something to stand out from the rest of the show, especially when you have two other title matches.
Yeah.
Especially when the fucking Usos in the New Day. Sweet mother of Christ.
That was going to be my match of the week pick.
So was mine before the women. Good Lord. Travis on our messenger is like, the Usos in the New Day again? Yeah. I was like, dude, have you been watching this?
You need to watch that match.
But that match, dude. Like,
you need to watch.
Oh, my God. It was fresh.
It was to the point where the Usos got more brutal than you would think that they would as their characters are. But it still made sense in their characters because they had to just elevate themselves that much to beat the viciousness of the Usos. So I liked it, even though it was out of character. Like that, the out of character.
Out of character for the New Day.
Yeah, the out of character-ness made sense within the story.
You but know, they still managed to keep it fair and leave Xavier back there just so there's no doubt.
Yes. Yes. High three. Yes. Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. The brutality of the match itself reminded me of stuff out of Lucha Underground.
That was probably like some of the best ECW had to offer if you were to watch that match.
Oh, like Xavier is legit injured. Thank you, Porsche.
There you go. Yeah. So,
but I mean, storyline wise, kayfabe wise, it makes sense. So is that your match of the week pick, or is it the women's final?
Neither.
Okay.
We're gonna get to it.
So what else about SmackDown then?
Are you sick of seeing Vince McMahon on television?
No.
I'm just gonna say the same thing.
No, I'm not. I'm not sick of seeing Vince McMahon. Why? Because
you get to help you out in
first time that I've seen him in how many years? So, yeah, I can't get sick of him. But, yeah, he came out. Okay, cool. Laying down the law. All right. Shane and Steel Cana. Okay. Like, I don't really want to see Shane fight. All right. Shane and whatever in a steel cage. All right. And I'm glad that's squashing the whole litigation bullshit, because litigation in wrestling never really works out as an angle, because, I mean – you don't want it to end in a courtroom behind closed doors. You want it to end in the ring. So, okay, you could. You squash that. You're actually going to have a match. Unfortunately, the match I don't want to see. But, okay, whatever. And then he just got – Kevin Owens just got brutal on Vince, which was shocking. Shocking. That's the word I want to use.
I think
I wasn't expecting it.
In hindsight, the promo was more interesting than I gave it credit for. In the moment,
Ryan immediately disagreed with me. Vince's beatdown was so telegraphed. So? I didn't see it coming.
I
didn't see it coming.
Because you just saw it. Or did you just watch it today? Or just saw it yesterday?
I watched it yesterday.
You watched it yesterday?
Yeah, no, I did
not. I saw that coming from like miles away. I didn't even have my glasses on.
I did not see that coming. Because I thought like, okay, he's just going to act in the authority role that Shane kept me in, and that's it. Because by this time, surely he's too old to do any physicality.
If Vince would have actually been the heel and joined Kevin Owens, that would have been surprising.
That would have, yeah. But see, and the extent of the brutality was also because, like, okay, after the headbutt, I'm like, all right, he's done. But no, the headbutt, and then you know, the kick to the side. Okay, now he's done. Like, no, he's going to do the bullfrog splash. What the fuck? Okay, now he has to be done. And then, like, by the time like it was all said and done, I'm like, all right, finally, he's walking away. Here comes Steph. Oh my God, please don't tell me he's going to fuck up Steph. Like, by that time, I didn't know what to believe anymore. You know, like, I was.
You were worked.
I was worked. And I like being worked.
Oh, man.
I don't mind being worked.
In the moment, I was finding it odd listening to the promo because it didn't make sense to me. But now in hindsight, Vince playing that card of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know, because Vince had no reason to stick up for Shane. Some of the stuff was like, yeah, I suspended him because he didn't finish that job. And I was like, what? Like, in the moment, I wasn't getting it. But now post-ass-whooping, like, it kind of makes a lot more sense that he took that route that he took. I'm hoping this is what it takes to get Kevin Owens over as whatever he's supposed to be. Because the Universal title, Kevin Owens, Triple H turning on everybody and giving Kevin Owens the belt. Do you remember any of that besides Chris Jericho?
No.
You don't?
No.
Right? So
that's not saying much coming from me.
So Kevin Owens now with the endorsement of beating the shit out of Vince McMahon. If that doesn't get Kevin Owens over, what is?
Well, I think that this might be, I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, but it might be Vince's seal of approval that, you know what, this guy is here to stay. Because Vince doesn't work angles, much less get super physical with people that he doesn't think can actually hang with a big-time storyline. Vince thinks that his storyline is like, oh, you're top of the card if you're working with me. So if that's what because Vince holds himself in that high regard. So if Vince is working with Kevin, that means Vince thinks Kevin is worthy. That means Kev's probably a made man. So yeah. I'm okay with that because I've always believed that about Kevin.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. Aaron, what's up? He says that man bun is being worked. He said man bun 316.
Oh, I'm not. Fuck it. I'll take it off then. The reason I wear the man bun is because I can't be like this at work, and I don't want people to tell me, "All right, man, yeah, let it go. Gotta cut your hair." Like, no. So I have the man bun, but I'm gonna get too lazy and I don't do anything with it.
So now you just have a mullet. Look at this. This is in the front, party in the back. This is a classic mullet.
Bringing it back, man.
Randy, you have somebody in your house that's wearing a mullet.
She's too busy eating.
She's watching Big Brother.
All right, man. So this typical fashion with Houston Wrestling Radio.
Suave and man bun. What? Why suave and man bun? Why suave. Am I suave?
I thought I would be suave because I have the hair.
Show
what you're sporting.
You are Antonio Picante, after all.
Hey, mucho caliente. Usually between us and Houston Wrestling Radio, if somebody gets ahead of the group and hypes something very much.
Yes.
Everyone else gets critical.
Yeah.
I was kind of tickled a little bit with Jinder's promo, and I let these guys know ahead of time, and both Abel and Arnold shat on it completely.
Yes.
So, Abel.
Arnold's not here to shat, so I will shat on his behalf, although I think his shatting might be different than my shatting. So here's mine. all right. I understand what they were trying to do. I understand what Jinder, he was setting everybody up for the big gotcha moment. Okay? I get it. And the concept worked. But there's two problems with it. The first problem is, I'm going to be more succinct about, you already have somebody else doing that on the roster. You have Dolph Ziggler doing the exact same goddamn thing where he's trying to prove a point being sarcastic. That's basically what Jinder was doing. He was trying to be sarcastic, trying to work somebody, the crowd over to prove a point at the end, to get to the gotcha. All right, fine. Number two, the gotcha should have came a lot sooner, and the gotcha should have been a lot better. There was 90% setup for 10% gotcha. There was three fucking pictures that they were ha-ha-ha-ing and laughing over. That was, okay, that's too much. And then the thing about Michael Jackson and the Sting brothers doing the fucking dead drop layout.
Oh, and the Pikachu.
Yeah, the Pikachu stuff. Like, okay, man, like, all right. By that time, I was already checked out of it. Like, man, they're really fucking up giving Jinder some bullshit, man. This is dumb.
You can tell that's fed.
I'd rather him going back to the fucking xenophobia thing and, like, that's it. You know, but I was like, but then the gotcha came where it's like, oh, you're really laughing at that? You're really laughing at this? See, this is how these, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's cool. But by that time, it was kind of too little too late.
Checked out.
And the reason why it was too little too late is because I don't think he delivered the gotcha enough. The gotcha wasn't good enough there at the very end. It wasn't like if you would have cut some of that shit down and then said, why are you laughing at this? I'm making a fool of myself. This is stupid what I'm saying, and you're laughing at it. You see, Nakamura, this is how they're going to treat you, and this is what they want to see out of you. And if we didn't already see that out of Ziggler, like, oh, you need to be a fucking clown? You need to have, a Bayley attire? You need to dress up like Naomi? You need to be the Ultimate Warrior for us to get over? Like, if it wasn't for that, because it's kind of the similar points, I think it would have had more impact. So
I think the gotcha for me was good because I wasn't expecting it from Jinder in that way. Of course, all the jokes and all the pictures and the poofy faces and the ha-ha old school humor. Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. This is probably going to be one of my most favorite rivalries of this year.
Aaron said you have an Ellsworth mullet.
He's just jealous because he got rid of all his hair.
That's true.
Dick. One of my favorite rivalries of the year for WWE is going to be Jinder Mahal against the American public. This promo did provide the xenophobia in a way that you probably weren't looking at because you were probably the visuals were too distracted on one thing when you're completely forgetting about the other. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's easy to look at all those stupid pictures of Shinsuke Nakamura off kilter and for him to make those jokes. But subtly, dude, he put every single person in Vegas and at home on check. And I fucking loved it because I'm still one of those guys. I know what you're going to get with Jinder in the ring is not going to be what you're going to like. We already got that with Orton. We already got that with Cena. We already got that with Nakamura. But he is not losing focus on his target. His target is not Nakamura. His target is us.
Okay? Okay?
And in that aspect, that kind of put the cherry on top, at least for me, on this week in WWE television, because between John Cena, The Miz, and then Dolph Ziggler and Jinder, dude, they've been putting a lot more focus on promos, on talking, on delivering messages, on making points, having points come across. Okay. You know, for all the hubbub of, oh, my God, look at women's wrestling, and oh, my God, look at these awesome title matches. Dude, don't forget, some of these guys on the mic, dude, they'll burn you alive. And
yeah,
and that's the part that I focused on when I was sitting there at the end watching the promo. I just sat on the couch like, you motherfucker. Like, I was literally clapping at that shit.
Okay.
I was like, I was not expecting Jinder to shoot at me through that kind of scope. And okay, when he hit me, I was like, you son of a bitch. So, of course, I'm not looking forward to the rematch in Hell in a Cell.
Right.
But the build is going to be consistent, at least for me. Because his build has been consistent with the xenophobia. And he's just finding new ways to remind you, ah, I got you. You see how stupid you are? Because I just pointed it out. You idiot. And that's it. I'm fucking loving it.
Yeah. And like I said, I get what he tried to do,
mm-hmm,
and I appreciate that part of it. I just like the delivery of it. Like, instead of it being 90-10, it should have been like closer to 60-40.
I think I'm looking past
40-60.
I'm looking past the fact of Jinder's, I don't want to say lack of delivery, but it's just his voice does not come across as, it's something in his voice where it's, even when he tries to deliver something, it doesn't sound like the way you would hear it. Because of his voice,
like,
his
grassy voice.
I don't know. It's just
You don't think he sounds intimidating? Because I think he sounds intimidating as fuck.
I'm gonna have to get back with you on that.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's something in the sound.
You need to flesh that thought out there,
yeah, because
I think I disagree with you on, sure, that. I don't think there's anything wrong with his voice.
Okay.
I think in this particular promo, you could see him forcing himself. And it wasn't until the end. But by that time, the majority of the promo was already done. I get that was the effect, but whatever. I'm done beating that dead horse. Arnold says, Arnold's in the live chat.
Oh,
thank
hell.
You for joining us, Arnold. Arnold said, Jinder no es bueno. That's all he said. Thanks, Arnold. It's like you're still here. and Aaron says that he does miss his hair, sort of.
I'll donate some of mine to you if I decide to ever get rid of it.
Yeah. Ryan says the guys haven't seen me without my hair either. You chopped off all your hair, Ryan?
Oh!
Really? Oh, I need to see this.
Ryan, it's
been too long since I've seen you.
Isn't today Appreciate Bald People Day?
Is it?
Yeah.
That can't be.
Yeah.
That can't be a thing. That can't be a thing. That shouldn't be a thing.
Of course, check that. I bet you I'm right.
No, don't make that a thing.
even if you hide it looking down, you can see it in the back.
Anyway. Yeah. Them roids change your voice. That's what Arnold said. Change it for the better or for the worse?
How about Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable?
Well, ain't no stopping him now. Actually, why? Why? Why did they change the entrance music?
Like, they did?
Yeah. Like, I mean, not from... Like, why didn't they just either go with Ain't No Stopping Me Now or go with the better American Alpha music?
I'll miss that, like, American Alpha
music. Could have had
If you're not going to use it, give it to Jordan.
Yes! Yes! Like, Gable had good music. Shelton had good music. So you know what? Let's throw them both away and give them shitty music together. Like, what? Why? Why? Come on. Aw, really? Like, Gable got the good music in the divorce. And now he can't even use it? Get the fuck out of here.
It's that Lucha Underground contract. It's got to wait 90 days.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. But in the ring, okay, cool. I enjoyed it. I'm not a match of the week candidate or anything like that. It was a nice little match. Nice, cute, mm-hmm, little, aw, good job. You know, kind of match. Like, you're barely starting to get the snowball to roll down the hill. It's not big and bad yet. You're still at the top of the hill trying to compact it together for me.
How about the other side of the coin? Is now the time to make
Mojo and Ryder split?
Make Ryder interesting by turning him heel. Or is that ship already gone?
There's a part of me that wants to say it's too late, but there's also a part of me that was like, oh, I forgot about this. It was like you were watching a series on Netflix and you stopped like halfway through season one and then you started up again and you're like, oh yeah, that's what happened. You know, like months and months later, you're like, oh, okay, cool.
This is why I don't binge watch.
Yeah, I'm caught up again. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, let's go ahead and start. Because like for 2 months, I think – we haven't done anything with either one of them. Like, what the fuck? Where have they been? It's like, all right. So they were just teasing slow burn where, you know, Mojo's going to be the nice guy who wants to shake the hand and be, you know, and Ryder's like, the fuck, bro? You know? Okay, cool. You press pause for 2 months. And they just press play. All right. I could suspend my disbelief that they had no contact or communication whatsoever for 2 months. All right, fine. It's wrestling. Fuck it.
How about Lucha Underground?
Well, sir, Lucha Underground was an interesting episode. However, before we jump into that, let me catch up here.
More?
There might be. Evil Emma Music is gold. No, it's not. New Emma Music is terrible.
So it took Arnold leaving for everyone to show up.
Emma, the old Evil Emma Music is gold. Yeah, the new.
Oh, the remix.
Arnold is saying.
Was it like that? No.
I have
no rhythm.
Arnold is saying, yeah, that's going to be another tag team to break up soon. Yeah, that's what we need. Good point. That's not.
We just suffered Hurricane Harvey. I can't have any more break. I can't anymore.
Yeah, we. You know what? He has a good point. Maybe. Well, I don't know. You just gained a tag team, so to balance it out, I guess you got to lose one, I suppose.
Jeez.
Nah, I don't know. Yes, the Quirky Bubble Popping remix is lame. Yeah, that. He's talking about the entrance music there. Let's see. Is it sad that I'm hoping that Reigns joins Rollins and Ambrose again? Yes, it is sad. Quit jumping ahead of me. All right.
You have no soul.
Ryan is. Oh, did Lord.
Ryan just sent us a.
He sent us the picture of all his hair gone.
Oh, man. He can't look that bad. y'all tell me, does he look that bad?
Come on. You somehow you clicked on a picture of Pokemon Go. Okay, a screenshot that I had of Pokemon Go. All right. Well, anyway, yeah, all his hair's gone. Well then, congratulations, sir.
We'll miss you.
All right. Are we ready?
Lucha Underground, pendejo.
We'll get to Raw later. All right. All right, Lucha Underground is coming up on its 100th episode. So that means this past episode was episode number 99.
And this is still in its third season.
Still in the third season.
Holy Walking fuck. Dead is about to do its 100th episode, and it's in its eighth season. Hey!
Fuck. Why so many episodes? Why?
Syndication. That's why.
Robert Rodriguez, why?
Syndication.
You answer me this.
Just like Big Bang is on 14 different channels now.
This is why Arnold's never going to catch up. Oh, it's just three seasons. You'll be fine. And then he goes like, clicking on. Like, one season is fucking 40 episodes. This is why he's not cut up. It's like, hey, I'm going to start watching wrestling. Should I watch Raw from the beginning? Yes.
From 1995.
Watch the first episode of Raw in 1995. Then you could catch. Yeah. No. No. That's not going to work.
All right. If you do catch up, you are a dedicated motherfucker.
Yeah. You know what? That would be impressive. I wonder how many hours that is to watch the first episode of Raw all the way up to present day. That's a lot.
Well, they were at like episode 1150, so we could do the math. I think it's like
6 months.
6 months.
It's like 2,800 hours.
Arnold says Abel is Pikachu.
Pikachu.
Pika?
You going to see that I Choose You movie when it comes out? Oh, no.
Ryan, going back
something
to the
something is in red. Something's in red on the chat. This is going to be interesting.
He says, it's okay, Chris. The important people think I'm sexy. He, he, he.
As in no one.
Wah, wah, wah.
I'm just as lonely. So Lucha Underground, 99.
You're probably lonelier. Lucha Underground, 99.
Yeah.
All right. There was a really amazing match that might be my match of the week pick. Uh-oh. I need to discuss it with you, though. Uh-oh. The 5-0 match. Just what you thought. Lucha Underground was done coming up with new ways of spinning gimmick matches and spinning no-holds-barred matches. You had the fucking 5-0 match. And right when I thought that Cortez Castro was irrelevant, and you know what? Out of all the Lucha Underground wrestlers, he's probably been one of the shittiest. Right when I thought that, they do this fucking match where I'm like, fuck yeah, Cortez Castro is a fucking beast, dude. Like, I'm fucking sold on the guy. And, you know, of course, Joey Ryan's Joey Ryan. You know, but fuck, man, this match was, I hate to say it, this match was brutal. It was brutal. And I enjoyed the different gimmicks in the match. Again, going back to the same match that, what's his name? The army guy and the army guy with the mask.
A.R. Fox. Dante Fox and Killshot.
Yeah, Dante Fox and Killshot when they had their match. What did they call it?
Modern Warfare.
Modern Warfare or something like that.
It was
like,
Modern Warfare. Yeah.
I don't know. It was just, okay, it's a fucking street fight. Come on, just call it a street fight. But no, man, they had gimmicks out there to match the theme. They had gimmicks out there to match it. They had a fucking squad car with the lights on in the arena. They had cops standing around in full riot gear with the battalions and the fucking shield and everything. That made sense. They had a table with donuts and coffee.
I was waiting for you to bring up the donuts.
There was a table with donuts and coffee. And the coffee was used as a weapon. Hot coffee poured down poor Joey Ryan's pants.
Well, what else do you have sausage and eggs with?
They teach you to use that in prison. Hot coffee.
They teach you to use hot coffee? They teach that to the guards?
Yes, yeah? There's a riot and you can get to the coffee. Sling the hot coffee.
Yes. There you go. Randy used to work at TDCJ. She didn't spend time in the clink. So, yeah, that's how she knows that information.
Yeah, but her handcuffs are fuzzy.
And pink.
And covered in this white cream.
Able.
Smelled like asparagus.
Why asparagus?
You nasty.
This is my match of the week pick.
It's your pick?
Yes.
Holy crap. Shouldn't this be my pick?
Convince me, sir. The only flaw I have of this match is the fact that they should have ended the show with this.
Oh, good point. In fact, I thought it ended the show with this because after that match was over, I got up, walked away, and started cooking stuff. And Portia's like, hey, what are you doing?
The donuts got you in the mood, huh?
Oh, yeah. And Portia's like, hey, what are you
doing?
The
sausages and the kolaches, eh?
Why aren't you fast-forwarding through the commercials? The show's not over. The show's over. That was the last match. But there was another segment. Oh, shit. I totally forgot about
Puma. We never got a payoff for it because he didn't announce anybody.
Yeah, I totally forgot about all that. But if we just pretend like that was the main event, because it was the last match.
This is what Lucha Underground does so well, and this is why I make an effort at least.
Sounds like Abel's lunch hour.
And breakfast and dinner. Dude.
Before I call you by your real name.
You weren't expecting much when you were seeing Dante Fox versus Killshot in the main event in that Modern Warfare match.
Yeah.
You walked away going, holy fuck, those guys. Was it the Moth against Phoenix? There was a hardcore match that ended an episode of Lucha once, and we both walked away like, dude, I didn't think Marty the Moth could main event an episode of the show. Yeah. We were all like,
I think that was a match in the Cueto Cup, wasn't it?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, fuck.
The Moth has it.
Yeah, all around. He's got it. And so with this match, I was like, all right, impress me.
I wasn't even like, impress me. I was like, Cortez Castro's, you know, dude, he is what he is, and that's it.
They had the riot cops around the ring to make sure Joey Ryan wouldn't escape. So right from the beginning, I'm like, okay, you got a point right there. You've got me. Oh, my God. Then Joey takes one of the shields and puts in a – oh, my – dude. I can't explain this without – I couldn't explain this better unless we were literally watching the match and doing like Mystery Science Theater 3000 during the match.
Okay.
That's the only way that I could express how good this match was. And the weird thing is, that's like half of our match of the weekend. It's from Lucha. It's like, we can't explain it. You kind of have to watch it. But good fuck, this gimmick inside of a gimmick, they made it their own.
And, you know, for as much shit as my DCW co-host, Nick T. Vegan, gives Vampiro. He always says that he and I are way better than Vampiro as commentators. As much shit as Nick likes to give Vampiro, I really liked the spin that he put on this, where it was like, yeah, I guess the cops are doing the same thing like, you know, other fraternities or biker gangs or you know, street gangs do, where you have a beef within your own organization, you circle around, and he said, like lumberjacks, you circle around and let the two members of the group fight out their beef, and I guess that's what the cops are doing. I was like, damn, Vampiro, yeah, okay, cool, I'm on board. Like, damn, that makes sense. It's like, oh, man, all the cops are like, oh, man, the cops are in on this, because they were both outed as cops. We both know that they're cops.
Okay, so everything that you can associate with police and brutality, that's what happened in this match.
We had nightsticks.
You want nightsticks? You got it. You want riot shields? You got it. You want a cavity search with like three bottles of baby oil?
A cavity search.
You got it.
You got a taser to the nuts.
He reached for the back pocket through the front, basically.
Yes.
Tasers. Oh, my God. Freaking dude. Freaking Matt Striker going, I can smell the burnt hair from here.
Yes. There was so much in there that you wouldn't normally see in a regular hardcore match.
In a hardcore match, you would throw a chair and then you'd hit him with a super kick. No, it was a box full of fucking bear claws. Fucking deal with it.
Yes. Donuts. Bear claws.
And they showed a close-up with the camera on the floor with like the donut rolling around on the floor while everybody's fighting in the periphery. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I want Shipley's right now.
Now you could say, okay, so he hit him with the donut. Why are you marking out so much? Like, okay, cool. Yeah, donut. I get it. Yeah,
this is the same guy that does a test of strength with his penis.
That's the silly part. I get it. That's the silly part. But the fucking brutal part came with the taser, the mace, the hot coffee. Yeah, sure, it's all gimmicked, but hey, this is wrestling.
Slamming on the hood and windshield of the cars.
Getting the sledgehammer, breaking open the windshield of the cars. Yeah. The bat, where you thought he was going to hit him with the bat, but instead he hits out the light of the car.
Dude, they showed footage from inside the dash cam.
Yeah.
How fucking inventive is that?
It's those little fucking details, man. All those details that went with the theme. That's why it wasn't just a regular old street fight. They went with the theme, and every single time that they grabbed the weapon, it was having something to do with the theme. Yeah, sure, they may have started out with kendo sticks, which it's a wrestling thing. You always see kendo sticks. But from there, they diverged into the fucking theme. It made sense. It was brilliant.
I was just waiting for a cop to sprinkle some crack on one of the guys laying on the floor. Like, there's somebody or some ginger coming out saying, ah, he's innocent. You know? That's my match of the week pick.
You may have convinced me. I don't know. I'm going between that and the Usos versus New Day and the finals of the Mae Young Classic. I'm not sure which of the three.
Is there anyone in the chat room that can help me convince Abel that the 5-0 street fight is the match of the week?
Is Arnold still in the chat? If he is, I'd like to hear what his he hasn't been commenting. Maybe he's
still halfway in the episode in season one.
Well, I know, but I like to know what his pick is either way from whatever he's watched throughout the week. But okay, apparently only a moth can quench that thirst. Oh, that's Aaron. He's because Porsche over there was talking about how she likes Marty the Moth because she likes creepers apparently.
Dude, episode 100 is gonna be stacked as fuck, y'all. Pentagon Dark against Dragon Azteca for one of the last medallions.
Uh huh.
Matanza Cueto versus Rey Mysterio. And finally, an 8-man Atomicos match. Atomicos. Johnny Mundo leading the Worldwide Underground against Prince Puma. And
we don't know.
Fuck if we know. They were supposed to announce that at the end of the episode that Abel almost missed because, you know, the main event was actually the match.
Yeah.
And no, we got something different.
Yeah.
You're going to give up the mask. Mundo wants the mask. And then out comes El Jefe. It's like, you know what? We already got a mask match. And that's a sexy star, I think.
Right.
So.
And he said, I don't want anybody to accuse me that I've been running out of ideas. I love that line.
What do you love more, just as much that Johnny Mundo loves his belt?
Your career!
Puto. Match belt versus career. It feels like a lot of these, maybe Robert Rodriguez knew ahead of time that season three was going to be his last one because he's tying off a bunch of loose ends with a lot of these booking to where after season three of Lucha Underground, if you never see an episode again, that series has an ending.
Okay.
Which I don't mind it. I mean, it hurts. I'm sad.
But there's already season four in the books, but you got to end a lot of stuff because apparently you're losing a lot of people. Again, this was recorded fucking 12 years ago, but
before I was born, I think.
Yeah. We barely discovered, it's like Southpaw where we just discovered the tapes and we're airing it now. But yeah, I mean, maybe this is the way that they write out Prince Puma. Because you know, apparently he's not, Ricochet isn't in
King Ricochet.
Isn't in Lucha Underground anymore, so I don't know. But
dude,
I'm interested 100. To see the match. And you know what would be fucked up? If somebody else loses the match for Puma. And I wonder if that's how they're actually going to do it, because it's an Atomico's match, right? So if somebody else gets fucking pinned.
This isn't a title match. Right. The Atomicos is not a title match. This is just a preview for Ultima Lucha.
Oh, right? Okay.
Ultima Lucha is still Johnny Mundo versus Prince Puma for the title. But this is no way out of Texas before WrestleMania 14.
Okay.
Yeah. So, man, episode 100 is going to be lit.
Yes. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it for Lucha.
All right. Sounds good. Aaron, Brian Cage versus the world.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go with that. I like Brian Cage.
For having this as my match of the week last week, mm-hmm. I didn't get to watch 205 because I pretty much figured out that WWE is taking a lot of my money. And the one thing that's more valuable than money is time. I can make money, but I can't make time.
Right.
So I had to watch other things. I wanted to watch Ring of Honor, actually, but they actually re-aired last week's episode that I saw online. Jay Lethal versus Beer City Bruiser in a fucking street fight, which was glorious. That was fucking awesome.
Beer City Bruiser, really?
Yeah. The feud is actually Lethal versus Silas Young.
Okay.
But in order to get to Silas, the mini boss, which is like five sizes bigger than the real boss.
Doesn't he kind of suck?
Yeah, but it was a street fight. He was throwing kegs everywhere. She was delicious.
Okay.
But
again, street fight with a theme.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm actually starting to watch a little. I want to watch a little bit more Ring of Honor because I'm curious where they go from here now that a lot of their talent's like gone.
I don't know, you man. Know?
Red Dragon, Kyle O'Reilly. So I'm just curious. Donovan Dijak.
Yeah, he's at the Performance Center now.
Yeah, and Leo Rush also. Mm-hmm. And he was, I think he was a finalist for Top Prospect, if not the winner of this year's Top Prospect,
yeah.
Leo Rush.
So, I think the Performance Center is going to give ROH a lot of competition for just warm bodies. Because, like, if I'm a young up-and-comer, you know, and I had to choose, well, am I going to go over to wrestle for Ring of Honor for 10 years, or am I going to go to Performance Center for 3 to 5 years, yeah. Shit, I'd rather already have my foot in the door in WWE. So, no, I'm not going to go wrestle for ROH. You
know, I would hate for Ring of Honor to suffer the fate that ECW did, in the sense that ECW couldn't make stars as fast as they were leaving.
Yes.
You know, yeah, and Ring of Honor right now is like, all right, Punishment Martinez.
Who?
Couple of other guys. It's like, you know, you still got Jay Lethal. You still got Cody Rhodes. Wrestling Minoru Suzuki.
Although Cody Rhodes is going all over the place. He's been a wrestling slut.
You know, so as long as he
dirty
wants protection.
Boy. What?
You know, but you would hate for a ring up. Again, you don't want competition to fall off the map, you know?
Right.
And that just needs more real estate for WWE to clog it with, you know? So I'm curious to see what comes up. Death Before this, I mean, not this. Final Battle is going to be at Hammerstein at New York City at the end of the year.
Cool.
You know, in case I didn't need another excuse to go fucking back to New York.
Don't go back.
But so Ring of Honor, yeah. So I didn't watch 205.
Okay.
Again,
back
too
to
much
205.
WWE television.
205.
So there were two things that happened in 205 that I should have seen.
Yes.
Which one was the most impactful? No pun intended.
Let's go with let's say Gentleman Jack. Gentleman Jack, heel turn. What?
What?
Okay, so we had a match with Cedric Alexander and the man with the plan, Brian Kendrick. And it was a good match, you know. It seemed as though Kendrick was trying to get, you know, his upper hand, trying to do sneaky stuff like how he always does or whatever. And I got to be honest, I wasn't paying too close attention to the match because I was like, whatever, it's not that big of a deal. You know, this match, they didn't have a whole lot to it. It was just Kendrick before the match told Alexander, oh, yeah, you should be better. I don't know. And like that's kind of how I felt about the story. Like I didn't give a shit really. So then out comes, you know, Gentleman Jack. We're like, oh, okay, cool. And, you know, continuing this feud, Gentleman Jack and the Brian Kendrick. All right. Well, Gentleman Jack was standing in the middle of the ring. Brian Kendrick was up in the corner, and then Gentleman Jack, with William in hand,
the third,
turns on his heel and, you know, figuratively and literally, and bam, whacks Cedric Alexander with William the third, and he proceeds to beat the living shit out of Cedric Alexander. Like, Cedric Alexander got a whooping. Like, he owed him money. Like, he got his ass kicked. All the while, Brian Kendrick was sitting in the corner like, the fuck just happened? Like, Brian Kendrick was, like, just as shocked as everybody else was. And then Gentleman Jack walks back to the center of the ring, faces Mr. Kendrick, looks at him, and extends a hand. And Brian Kendrick gets up and is like, I don't know how I did this, but I did this. Okay, cool. I have a new friend. Sure, I'll shake your hand and I'll smile doing it. Not a smile like, oh, I planned this all along, but a smile like, well, shit, bank error in my favor. Yay. You know? So I don't know what the fuck's happening here. And I saw that there were some people online who are like, no, please don't turn this guy heel. What the fuck are you doing? This is stupid. Blah, blah, blah. I was starting to have that feeling until the camera zoomed in on Gentleman Jack's face. And Gentleman Jack, with his little fucking twirled mustache, with his sunken eyes, just looking pissed off, stared right into the camera just like that. And it fucking got tight, zoomed in. And I was like, oh, yeah, he has a fucking villain look to him if he really tries. Yeah. He could be basically what the vaudevillains failed to be. He could be this old, dastardly, kind of old-timey dick, you know? And I think it might work. Yeah, sure, he was this pip-pip cheerio, you know, whatever kind of guy. And all right, it was funny. It made sense. But I could see how a heel turn for him if they let him have free reign over it and let him be fucking menacing. But he kind of looked like... He looked like Dudley from Street Fighter to me a little bit, where he was still in the suit, but his sleeves were, you know, rolled up. But he had on the gloves, not like full on gloves, but he had his wrist taped up. But he was still proper and prim and stuff. But he had he looked like Dudley from Street Fighter. Like he could fuck somebody up. So I bought it.
Hearing it, I wouldn't mind if they go somewhere different with it.
Uh huh.
Have Cedric Alexander out off of television for a couple of weeks. Sell the whooping. Okay. Next week on 205 or next Monday night on Raw, just have Gentleman Jack and have Brian Kendrick out there kissing the ass of the Gentleman Jack, and Gentleman Jack goes, this is the depth I have to go to for you to realize I'm not the person you should be fucking with. And end the rivalry with Gentleman Jack beating the shit out of Brian Kendrick. Okay. That ends the feud. And what do you do next? You've already got Cedric waiting. Because the problem right now with 205 is everybody's already established in their roles, and they have been established in their roles.
Uh-huh.
You know, Drew Gulak has evolved his character, but he's still that guy. You know, Mustafa Ali's been getting a little bit better reception, named Mustafa Ali, but he's pretty much still a good guy. The status quo has been the same. You know, the only exception is, what's a TJP? Is he still friends, but he's like the evil angry brother, right? Or is he like straight up dick?
That match was pretty good. TJP versus Rich Swann, number 5,000.
It was supposed to be the rubber match, but yeah.
It was a good match. Match of the week candidate. I'm not sure, you know, my pick or whatever.
Who got over?
Rich Swann. So yeah, Rich Swann won. Okay.
Other than TJP, everything's pretty much been status quo. There needed to be a change.
Okay.
And if you've been pretty, they've been consistent with bringing in new guys every couple of months, but they don't really do anything with them. You know, you gave freaking Akira Tozawa, Titus Worldwide, and you gave him the belt for 6 days, 5 days.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like right back to the status quo of Neville being the dick.
Is that the definition of a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
Took you a long time to drink that coffee.
They brought in Grandma Talik, but that was the finalist. Why are you going to wait a year and a half after the Cruiserweight Classic to bring out the runner-up from the tournament, you know? And they brought in a couple of people here and there. They're bringing in Enzo. Still, I don't know what the hell's. I'm not liking Enzo, but still, they're right. trying to add more scenery to the 205 brand. But everybody's been pretty much the same. So, just hearing that they're doing something with Gentleman Jack has at least got my interest into next week.
Okay,
which I will at least make the effort to see the clicker. Hopefully, they don't give that shit away on Raw. And actually save that for 205. Oh my god! Damn, come on!
All right. Well, another thing that happened on 205 that was interesting. I don't know how I feel about it quite yet, so I'm gonna bounce it off of you and bounce it off of you guys. So help me out here, okay? Yeah, help me out here. We had Drew Gulak. Good. Come out.
Did he do the PowerPoint presentation again?
He finished the PowerPoint presentation.
Yes.
He didn't finish. He continued it. In fact, it was brought up that Microsoft Office tweeted at him saying, hey, we wanted to see slide number 3. We can't cruiserweight to see the rest. Microsoft Office. That was a brilliant tweet. But they referenced-
You're never going to come close to Arby's tweet game. But you're getting there.
Or Wendy's.
Oh, dude. Wendy's Arby's had freaking, like, they used their, like, cup, their, like, sandwich holders and turned them into, like, the old NES Zapper and used their curly fries as, like, ducks.
Yeah.
For duck hunting.
Yeah, that's some good stuff.
I'm having that shit for lunch tomorrow, just for that.
All right. So,
brainwash.
So, all right. They got some mainstream media. Okay, cool. And, like, okay, so we're going to continue my PowerPoint presentation. He's being a complete dork about it, which was great. He was being a dork. It's like, okay, slide number 3. No chance. We need to have complete silence. I don't want anybody chanting. And then, like, all right, whatever. No interruptions was the next slide. And, okay, yeah.
Somebody interrupted him, right?
No! What? He got away with it! And then it wasn't until the next slide, which I forgot what the next slide was. I honestly forgot what it was. After all that, oh, I think it was something about his, no elaborate ring gear.
Oh.
No elaborate ring gear. Okay. All you need is a trusty pair of trunks and a trusty pair of boots, and it gets the job done. That's all you need.
The Cody Rhodes treatment. Not even padding.
Yeah, yeah. Fashion files come out.
What?
The fashion files come out.
Man, WWE's desperate to give this show some ratings.
All I heard was, oh, my God, it's Tyler. And I was like, Tyler... I guess he could be 205, but why are we – what? And he came out, but Dango came out behind it. Da, 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 da. So I was like, okay, it's both of them. All right.
I see what you did there.
It's both of them. Wait, 2-on-1? I don't get it, but surely Dango's over 205. He's kind of a tall guy. He can't be under 205.
Well, winter's coming, and us guys know about that shrinkage.
Right. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? But they went in the ring. They didn't address the fact that they may or may not be 205 pounds. They just said that, hey, we had reports that there was a fashion faux pas or whatever.
Fashion crime.
You know, fashion crime going on. And like, we like underwear. We like boxers. We like briefs. We like G-strings, whatever. But this... And pointed to his, you know, chones that Gulak is wearing. That's too much. You know, because, you know, they're calling him Captain Underpants. He's like, I'm not Captain Underpants, whatever. And then they proceeded to put him under arrest. They hooked him up behind his back, put the cuffs on him. They had fuzzy blue cuffs.
That's where they went.
They had fuzzy blue cuffs. They're like...
Then they read from the laughing.
They started reading him his fashion.
The Miranda rights. Oh!
The fashion Miranda rights were fucking funny.
You have the right to remain ugly.
Yeah.
Anything you wear can and will be used against you.
Yeah. No, no. I think he said
in a public runway.
No, he said anything you wear can be seen in a mirror. Like, come on, man. Like, it was fucking hilarious. So while I had like a whole lot of questions as to why they were coming out, I forgot about those questions because it was just fucking hilarious. They did their job and they made it funny and they got buzz. They got me to buzz about it. Like, I want to tune in next week and see what the hell happens. And like they even said, I know that we're normally, our jurisdiction is normally Monday Night Raw, like, or normally SmackDown, and we're here on 205. I was like, yeah. So not only is it from SmackDown to Raw to 205, you're really jumping over the place, but that's just where they left it. I know that this isn't our jurisdiction, but we got a call.
Love it.
Okay.
Leave the door open.
Yeah. I so like that. The door is open. I don't know where they're going, because didn't they at one point in the Fashion File things on SmackDown one point say, oh, that's on Raw, that's out of our jurisdiction. Like, okay, so they can't with that, but they can with 205. Like, what the hell? So now that, like, I got past the hoo-hoo, ha-ha, hee-hee, now all those questions I initially had are flooding back again. What the fuck is happening here? Are they relegated to 205? Is this just a one-time thing, just to poke fun at Drew Gulak? Are they going to work an angle? Are they starting to blur the lines with what's 205, what's Raw, what's SmackDown? I'd be okay with that. I mean, I don't know.
Dude, I would be fine with Tyler Breeze in the Cruiserweight division at this point.
Okay.
If you've already squandered their tag title opportunities on SmackDown, even though the Fashion Police episodes are freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
But if you need something for them to do it, you don't want to job them out to Jason Jordan and Shelton Benjamin or some evil team on SmackDown to boost their credibility. Why not have Dango as an investigator while Tyler goes undercover? It's not like they do that in any other wrestling show. but regardless, I wouldn't mind it.
Okay. Okay, cool. I mean, they work their character enough to where I'm okay with it because I want to see where it's going. And I think that might, again, be going back to me being a bit of a hypocrite from the beginning of the show where we're talking about Kairi Sane. But okay, I'm a hypocrite. I'm a wrestling fan, so of course I can be a hypocrite, right?
We all are.
Yeah. All right, so that's that. That's 205 in a nutshell.
Raw. Somebody watches this podcast.
Why is that?
Because I was waiting. I was praying to God, Allah, Jeebus, the devil.
Flying spaghetti monster?
Godzilla. I was praying. Someone please drop the line. 16-time champion, 0 failed drug test. And we got it. Cena putting Reigns on fucking blast.
Okay.
About the drug test. Like, okay. Again, we've had this. I don't think you were in this conversation. I think it was Travis and I. Wrestling fans were like the lowest common denominator of intelligence. the internet wrestling community, we're like the bottom barrel of scum.
Right. Speak for yourself.
No, I'm speaking for us both. So we react to trigger words. We react to things or images we say. So when someone says the word bitch, oh my God, this is the best promo ever because he said the word bitch. So... So when they reference things that only idiots like us know, like, oh my God, Roman Reigns failed the drug test. They're still pushing, which is why I hate him even more.
Right.
Oh my God, you acknowledged it. Oh my God, yeah. Oh, man.
Okay.
This is going to be so good. I'm ready for the match now.
What? Okay. Okay.
I thought it was too soon.
I wasn't expecting this out of you, but all right.
It's weird because the thing is, I'm trying not to be a hypocrite. So when I say that I can't sit here last week and say, nah, man, you don't need to save the big matches for the big four pay-per-views. The big four pay-per-views already sell themselves. That's why you're watching it. You're watching the Rumble because of the Rumble match. You're watching WrestleMania for the pageantry. You're watching SummerSlam because you've been watching it forever. You're watching Survivor Series because the gimmick matches with the teams. So I can't sit here last week and say you don't need to save the matches for the big pay-per-views and then sit here this week and complain that, oh my God, why are we getting Cena versus Roman at freaking
No Mercy.
Why are we getting Shane McMahon, AJ, Kevin Owens at Hell in a Cell?
No Mercy.
Why are we getting that at Hell in a Cell? Why not save it for something bigger? It's like, well, this is the point.
I just love that commercial.
You need to sell your brand specific pay per views. Mm-hmm. And dude, I'm ready for it. I don't know if it's any good or not, but the build for me as a guy that has reasons for hating Roman Reigns and now has no reason at all to hate John Cena. Okay, I'm finally ready for this.
That promo further leads me to believe
Roman's going over.
No, that my conspiracy theory that I've had since the inception of this show is true, which is there's two layers of kayfabe now. There's a layer of kayfabe that's already been busted, but they still try to kind of keep it up for the kids and the casuals. But then there's a second layer of kayfabe for us because, oh, we're insiders and we read dirt sheets and we know what's going on and blah, 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 blah.
Because we have the IQ of children.
Yeah.
Basically.
So WWE has evolved their product enough to where they have two layers of kayfabe. And that second layer of kayfabe is where they got us all. They all think that we think we know what the hell's going on. But they use it and they poke us and they may even throw out fake news out there in the dirt sheets for all we know. So some of this shit that we think is like insider info, oh, this is what Meltzer said, so it must be true, might not.
That's a Meltzer.
Yeah, exactly. they're at Whataburger. They're delicious.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Can I get A1 with that?
Grilled onions is better.
All right. Okay. All right.
But that further leads me to believe that they manufacture these shooty things so that they could use it to work guys like us, work the IWC. I mean, I might be wrong. It might just be as simple as, well, this is what the IWC thinks, so let's use it, and not we're going to plant this in the IWC and then use it. Because, I mean, they got you to mark out. They got you to like Roman Reigns versus John Cena. They got you to like Roman Reigns versus, holy shit. Then, yeah, they did their job. But if there were ever to be a wrestling company to manufacture a second layer of kayfabe, I think it would be the WWE. Because let's face it, that first layer of kayfabe, that layer of kayfabe that's been around since the 60s, 70s, 80s, it's dead. It's dead. So what do you do?
From the first day of the WWE Network.
Yeah, what do you do to protect the business? Well, you put another layer of shellac on that bitch. That's all you do. You come up with the second layer of kayfabe. That's how you do it. Oh, man, they're killing the business. Jim Cornette is so mad because they're killing the business. All you got
to
do is just...
And how does he get revenge? He goes to Global Force?
Yeah. Standing in the ring with the biggest spot monkey of all the spot monkeys, Johnny Impact? Come on, man. Come on. Like, look, I like Johnny Mundo, Impact, Morrison, whatever the fuck you want.
Nitro.
I love that man to death. He's a great fucking performer.
But something about the name John Hennigan is just so non-threatening, even if he's topless.
But if you're going to stand in the ring as the man that is known for criticizing all the high flyers, and, oh, I hate the Young Bucks because they fucking killed the business and blah, blah, blah.
And Ricochet versus Will Ospreay, black eye the business.
Yeah. But you're going to stand in the ring and endorse Johnny Mundo? Get the fuck out of here, Cornette. You're full of shit.
That proves that Global Force has always been and always will be a fucking Ponzi scheme. Whatever it takes to get paid. You know what? I can sit here on this show and say it's sponsored by Global Force and that's the best brand in America. I better get a fucking check.
So, yeah, I think that there is a second layer of kayfabe that might be manufactured by the WWE. Sorry if it's my fucking conspiracy theory. Ryan has another tag team name, but this one is from Miranda. I don't know why Miranda didn't come and tell it herself.
We shamed her.
Yeah.
Get used to it.
Yeah. Or he's just trying to take the heat off of himself. But Ryan says this, the boobs. I don't know. I mean, I think it might be a nice C. You're probably about a B.
I'm working down. Yeah.
I want to look more like Chris Masters and less like Candice Michelle. You mean Adrian Adonis? Or not Adrian. What are they calling him? Just Adonis, right?
Is that no, it's Chris.
They're not calling him Chris Masters in Impact.
It's something Adonis.
Porsche?
Chris Adonis.
Yes.
Chris Adonis.
Yeah, right. I do. I don't need people to know that I pay attention to fucking Global Force.
Uh-huh. The individual names are Lefty and Righty. There you go.
More like Chippendale.
Chippendale. There you go. Okay. Sorry.
Regardless of Roman Reigns getting roasted again, which was Jason Jordan's better performance? Against Cena or against Roman?
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because Arnold in live chat said that
he still thinks he's a part of the show.
His runner-up for match of the week is Jordan versus Roman Reigns. His match of the week pick was Usos versus New Day. All right. So that's a pick. That's a solid pick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is definitely a candidate. I fucking love this match. I'm not sure which is better between the two Jason Jordan matches, but I really like what they're doing with Jordan, where he's even in losing efforts, looking really good because he's taking the top guys to the limit. He took Roman to the limit, and he took Cena to the limit. And I almost forgot that in the last week's promo, Roman said, oh, you let this, rookie chump. And then when Cena came out and said, you criticized me for not putting away this rookie, but how'd you do there, champ? You know, I was like, I almost forgot about that. I like that little Easter egg. And you know what? You're right. Fuck you, Roman. But the match was good. It was real good. Jason Jordan hung in there with both of the guys. And, dude, that double Northern Light suplex thing that he does,
he needs to make it a triple. He has to make it a triple. But it looks beautiful already. It is.
Beautiful. And they're slowly but surely, they're improving his entrance music, Jason Jordan's. You know, slowly but surely. I mean, that Casio keyboard bullshit that he had when he first came out by himself was terrible. Now, once they get the music down, now they need to tweak the singlet, but more so the Titantron. Because with the yellow and the green on the black background, it just makes it look like he's Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
Like he was, you know, trying to be Jamaican man, but he's not. He's Kurt Angle's fucking son. Why not make it red, white, and blue?
I don't want to remember that he's Kurt Angle's son.
I like the match. What did you think about the match? Dude,
I like what they're doing with Jordan.
All right.
You know, it's like I just said, it's a welcome distraction from the fact that he's Kurt Angle's kid. Now, if you want to really test Jordan, you know, a nice tune-up match for the week before
Sorry, I'm obsessed with that commercial.
I don't even know.
The commercial with Alexa where she has her face painted and they're all doing this cheerleader, like,
no mercy. I saw it on mute. I was just busy staring at Alexa.
It's even better with sound.
Jordan against Lesnar.
Go up!
A former NCAA wrestler against an NCAA champion.
Ooh.
As a tune-up for Strowman and have – and yeah.
Aye. Okay. Oh, boy. Well, you better pack a lunch, Jordan.
So tell me. So the reason I say that, you're gonna give me Jordan versus Cena last week, and you're gonna give me Jordan versus Roman this week. How the fuck are you gonna follow that up?
You follow it up by giving him a bit of a lesser opponent, but have him actually win. Because if he goes against lesser, he's gonna lose.
It's not about losing, because he's lost both of these matches so far, and he's worth a lot more. He was worth a lot more after Cena than he was before Cena. And I think he's worth a lot more now after Roman than he was before Roman.
But we're talking about two matches here with the top guys in the company. Eventually, he's going to have to get his win. Because if not, he's going to be Ziggler. He's going to be Zayn. He's going to be Wyatt. Eventually, he's going to have to get that marquee watershed fucking win where it's like, oh, okay, now.
The problem with Ziggler's wins, he was losing in his rivalry. Jason Jordan is not a rivalry with either of these guys. A rivalry is between the other guys. So this isn't the Jordan's first program where if he never wins in his program, he suddenly becomes Bray Wyatt.
Okay. Chris, or Ryan says, Chris, do you want Jordan to die going against Brock?
Well, if it kills the daddy gimmick.
I don't mind the daddy gimmick. I don't mind that he's Kurt Angle's son. And in fact, I don't mind that. I think that this losing streak thing might be playing into the fact that he's his son. You know, because wasn't Kurt like that too, where he wasn't necessarily winning a whole lot of stuff?
Oh, he was undefeated in the beginning until Taz came out and killed him in Royal Rumble. Oh, yeah. Okay,
then never mind. That shoots that theory out the window.
Yeah, speaking of theories.
My bad.
Man, how safe is Suplex City now? Now that someone actually survived it.
I still don't want to go visit Suplex City if that's
just like I don't want to go visit Mexico. Somebody gonna get killed. You cross that border, you go into state lines, you are fucked.
Yes.
But Strowman, dude, what was the look? Show the people the look on your face when you saw Strowman stand up after that suplex.
God damn. Yeah. Oh man.
Mine was like one of those faces like, oh my God, I came inside you. Like those eyes, like, oh, that was when I saw Strowman get up.
Dude, God, when I saw that, I was like, oh, yes. Oh man, if we're going to have somebody, I don't know who, somebody eventually passing the torch to Jordan, I would be 100% A-OK with Brock passing the torch to Strowman. and kind of extend that a little bit more too, having Vince pass the torch down to KO. Yeah, I'm cool with all these things. Because they're kind of at that point. We've been saying it since maybe even WrestleMania 30 that you need to start building new stars. And God damn it, why don't you give the fucking keys to the castle to Daniel Bryan? Of course, we all know what happened afterwards. He hurt his neck and all that stuff, so he's not allowed to wrestle.
But he's in shape for something.
But between Punk not panning out and Bryan not panning out, you still are where you were 5 years ago, where it's like, okay, the main event scene is tired. It's whatever. You need to make new stars. So that Punk and Bryan mini era, goddamn, that was all flop. Okay, you have a new batch. You have Owens. You have Strowman. You have AJ. You have Nakamura.
Samoa Joe.
And even to an extent, Roman Reigns. You need to start giving the keys to the castle to these guys.
You need to make copies.
You need to start making these guys be your new era. Whatever this era is going to wind up being called, whatever this you want to refer to this era as, the indie darling era, fuck, I don't know. But whatever happens, you need to start making these guys and making these guys quick.
Now. Yesterday.
Yes. Yes. Because, man, Cena's on his way out. Orton's definitely on his way out. Brock, he's already a part-timer. You know, who's going to be in that main event? You know, I mean, yeah, Cena could say it in his promos. I'm still here because you can't sell tickets. Okay, yeah.
But I'm still here because there isn't a bigger check coming.
Yeah. But it's also true that you're on the cusp of overstaying your welcome, Cena. Although the last few years, you've done a lot to take the tarnish off of your image, you know. You've done a lot to ingratiate yourself to the IWC, and I appreciate it, and it's awesome. And you know what? I have a newfound respect for Cena. But that doesn't change the fact that Father Time is still breathing down Cena's neck. So who are going to be the next guys? Because it's not going to be Punk. It's not going to be Bryan.
And it's not going to be just one.
It's not going to be Ryder. It's not going to be Bray.
It's not going to be just one. Yeah. I'm hoping they got, especially now with the brand split, hope WWE is ready.
What about Finn? Good point. Finn too.
Just like ECW couldn't turn out talent as fast as they were taking them. Just like right now, Ring of Honor can't make as much talent as they're losing. WWE needs to make as much talent for all the fucking space they're making. Raw, SmackDown, NXT, 205. I don't know what you're gonna do with the United Kingdom division. Well, you had all these women. What the hell are you gonna do with all these women? You need to have leaders there.
Yeah,
and you have to be ready, so especially in case two of them, at least, say out of all that top talent that you just named off, if two of them are on the injured list for at least six months to a year, you are about as fucked as UFC is fucked right now.
You're about as fucked as the Texans are right now with Brian Cushing.
Oh, fuck you, Cushing. Yeah. No, two strikes, you're out, motherfucker.
Yeah.
No, just like John Jones, you out. Like, that's it. No.
It was funny because Arnold and I were already talking about, dude, he's done. Like, just performance-wise, he was already done. And, you know, after the injury coming back, like, oh, man, Cushing's got to go. You know, as much as he's, like, a Texan staple, it's like, all right.
You could probably get a pretty good hill of beans for Brian Cushing at this point.
Yeah.
You can get him for some clean needles for the next rookie pick to do drugs.
You know what you could get? You could probably get back into the first and or second round for next year's draft for Brian Cushing. Hopefully. Sorry. Okay. Foosball. Sorry. I didn't mean to distract with that devil game.
Devil. How about we end the show with something that didn't end the show?
Okay.
Were you surprised? I don't know if you know. Speaking of football, not that we're trying to detract, did you notice something odd about the structuring of the show on Monday?
No.
Say specifically that Cena versus Strowman started the third hour?
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
You know, because we had back-to-back Monday Night Football games that WWE was trying to get ratings from.
Okay. I see where you're going.
I kind of feel like
what was the
it main jarred event? It jarred my interest a bit. I think the main event was the 8-man tag.
Oh, yeah. I didn't care about that at all.
Yeah, I didn't care about that at all. I was hoping Cena versus Strowman would main event the show and some kind of shenanigans would happen.
Yeah.
But it started after, the third hour.
After that match, I was just waiting for Mae Young Classic, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you think of the thrashing Cena took from Strowman?
It was good. I think it was a decent match. It's probably not a candidate for me. Maybe because we're chock full, surprisingly, of candidates this week. Mm. But it was decent. It wasn't bad. I don't know. What do you think?
It was a smart way to protect them, protect both the guys, you know, building up to the match. But yeah, by the end of that match, I thought Raw was over. I was hoping Raw was over.
You were done.
Yeah, I was done. Yeah.
It may not have been done, but I got mine.
You better get yours. See, you don't get yours after I get mine. You fresh out of fucking luck with me. They should have, if they were not going to end the show with Cena versus Strowman, they should have ended it with fucking Miz TV.
Oh, dude, we forgot about talk about that. Okay.
No, we didn't. We talk about it now, bitch. We're talking about it right now. Start talking.
Dude, I loved it, but I'm going to go back to my conspiracy theory.
Oh, Lord. It's our kayfabe. It's for us. It's for us.
Who all knows about the heat that Enzo has in the back about him getting kicked out of the locker room, huh? The IWC. Not the casuals. The IWC.
Not kids.
How does the IWC know about it? Oh, because we saw it on the dirt sheets. The dirt sheets, yeah.
News with the Z.
News with the Z. Meltzer. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, is it possible WWE leaked that information for us to have these feelings about Enzo? Us feeling a certain kind of way about Enzo. And then, a couple of weeks later, WWE uses it in a fucking amazing ass promo by The Miz. The Miz fucking
if you need somebody to slam a home run on a promo, you do it to The Miz.
You give it to The Miz.
Give The Miz the bat. Just tell him what direction you want the ball to go. Mm-hmm. It's gone.
Yeah. Dude, The
it's
Miz.
It's a dinger.
The Miz roasted fucking Enzo, man. But he roasted him with all the things that we know, that us, the IWC guys know, fucking insiders. That he brought up all that stuff. That's why when I was like, ooh! Because you know why? At that point, if we assume that we know those stuff that's really happening behind the scenes, at that point, he's bringing up stuff that's real.
Yeah.
It's real to us now, damn it. That's why I think there's a second layer of fucking kayfabe.
Yeah.
I mean, I might just be off my rocker. I might be trying to read too much shit into shit, but it makes too much sense.
All right, then I got a question for you.
That being said, it was fucking good. Holy shit, The Miz is so fucking awesome on promos now. Who would have thought 8 years ago, 5 years ago, that The Miz was the best fucking thing as far as promo goes, the best guy on the stick? Well, me, because I've always been a Miz mark. But most everybody else fucking always
and a
shat
fan
all
of
over
some
the
other
Miz.
Stick of his.
Yes. Somebody else shat all over The Miz. Other people always used to shit all over
That's
him.
Easy because he came from MTV.
Yeah, exactly. But I always saw something.
So I have a question for you.
Oh, and congratulations, Miz and Maurice, on having a little Miz.
And congratulations for Enzo to be single again, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Again.
That's what happens when you spend 10 grand on a bullshit fight in Vegas. That's what happens. You lose.
Arnold says that's not how baseball works, Chris.
What kind of real wrestling would you prefer?
Thank you.
Wrestlers that have real fight background or wrestlers that are real with themselves?
Ooh. Good question.
Because this is a part of wrestling that I like when you get a bit of everything. You might not agree with it, but dude, the promos this week with The Miz, with John Cena, with Kevin Owens, with Jinder Mahal, that's a facet that you can't get in MMA Dana White was the last guy that carried that old school brand of wrestling. If you watch any UFC pay-per-views, their build videos before the match is literally just old school 80s wrestling where you have the guys video talking to each other on video. Mm-hmm. Like that, he's the last guy that does that. No one in MMA is going to give you skills on the microphone for consistency. They don't have 14 Conor McGregors.
Right.
You know, there's a shit ton of people on WWE roster that can sell a fight just by talking.
Yeah.
So you are
part of the reason why Muhammad Ali was so fucking popular. Yeah, he was really, 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 really good boxer. I'm not trying to downplay his boxing ability, but Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather. The reason why that match was so bought was because they know how to talk shit to each other.
6 million pay-per-view buys, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't like either one of the guys, you know, but people put their eyeballs on it because they talked.
Yeah.
And they could talk. I mean, if it was Floyd versus anybody else, you know, nobody would care.
And we've seen Floyd versus everybody else, basically. Yeah.
I mean, Floyd versus Pacquiao. Pacquiao can talk as well, but not as much as McGregor. Yeah. So Pacquiao versus Floyd, all right, that had a lot of eyeballs on it, but not as many eyeballs as McGregor. Why? Because McGregor is that better of a talker than Pacquiao.
Yeah.
Even though Pacquiao is a way better boxer.
Even though he lost all that steam when he lost to Juan Manuel Marquez, but that's a different story for a different podcast.
Exactly.
Do you prefer somebody that's real to themselves or people that have real fight experience?
For professional wrestling purposes, I would probably say real to themselves, because professional wrestling is all about the story, the character, the soap opera-ness of it. Yes, you need to be good in the ring. I'm not saying you don't need to be good in the ring, but if I had a choice between The Rock and Lance Storm, I'd probably choose The Rock, you know, because you could teach The Rock how to do a sharpshooter, which he learned. You could teach The Rock how to do the rock bottom. You learn. But you can't teach The Rock how to be the most electrifying man and all that shit. You can't teach that. Can't teach that. You know, you could teach moves. Now, yes, there are some people that are more adept at it than others, because look at Enzo. Enzo, goddamn, he fucking sucks in the ring. But would I pick Enzo to be on my roster? Yes. If you use him the right way, if you make him be a mouthpiece for somebody else, if you have him where he's a manager or something, or in a tag team with a 7-foot giant who could, you know, slam people around while he talks shit, that would be perfect. But if you have somebody that's a real MMA guy, a real wrestler, okay, cool. But you got to teach him how the fuck to pull his punches. And
take bumps.
Take bumps and, like, not hurt people. And why would I give two flying fucks if I don't care about the guy? If he's boring. If he's boring in the ring, yeah, sure, okay, he really punched the guy. Like, oh, he's unsafe. And he's a yawn. So it's like, ah, come on. You know, I mean.
So look, you are picking Sane over Baszler.
I guess so. I mean, look at Angle. Angle's the perfect example of how to do it right.
Hybrid.
Yeah, he was a hybrid. But they brought him in thinking that, oh, man, we're just going to have him go over because, you know, he's an Olympic gold medalist or whatever. Like, okay, he's kind of not really working out with the fans. He's kind of not really getting over just because he was an Olympic gold medalist. What do? Man, will we just take his dorky-ass, stupid, boring personality and we turn it up to 11? Have him be pompous about the fact that he's boring. Give him the three eyes. Let him be a fucking dork that makes fun of himself, but he doesn't know he's making fun of himself. Then it works. And he eventually got that. His inner charisma, his inner reality came out. He became real to himself, and he took himself and turned it up to 11, and it worked.
Nice. That's it. That's the show.
Are we going to end on that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, then.
Came all the way back around.
Adios, my friends. Keep it classy. There you go.
Toodles.
Oh, wait, hold on here.
I thought we were done.
Arnold says,
it's Arnold.
Nah. Arnold says, take your tinfoil hat off, Abel. Enzo is a douche. Stripper called him out. Liv Morgan left him. Yeah, there you go.
He's just jealous because no stripper ever called him out on anything.
What?
I was not paying.
What? You cheap bastard, you.
With that, for God, see you next week, Arnold. Probably, maybe.